Today we have a very special guest. He is one of the country's best-known attorneys and authors, Chicago's very own Scott Turow. He's a New York Times best-selling author, has written 13 fiction and 3 nonfiction books that have been translated into more than 40 languages and sold more than 30 million copies. Several have been made into movies, Presumed Innocent, one of the best legal thrillers ever. Welcome to the show, Scott. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Karen. It's nice to be talking with you again.
So I want to get right into it. We have a new book, and your new book came out in the fall of 2022, and it's called Suspect. Mm-hmm. Highly recommend it. Sure. Your agent was nice enough to send it to me. I read it on my exercise bike in about 2 days. and let's talk a little bit about it. We're not going to spoil it for anybody, because you're all going to go out there and buy it and read it. But I want to talk about kind of this is a little bit different than your other books in that your book is not written from the perspective of an attorney. And if I'm not mistaken, this is the first time that it's not. Is that fair?
You're right. I guess, I mean, I've had sections of a couple of novels that were not from the point of view of a lawyer, but almost always my protagonist is an attorney. So this is the first time that I've written from the point of view of somebody who is not law trained. So you're right. And I never even thought about that, Karen, till after the book was done.
Oh, how interesting. So for Scott Turow fans, if you recall the character Sandy Stern, he's the attorney, he was played by Raul Julia in Presumed Innocent, has a granddaughter named Pinky, and Pinky has been in at least one other book that I recall. And I want to just, how do you write from the perspective of somebody who is so completely different from you? And just for people who haven't read it yet, Pinky is bisexual. She's tatted from top to bottom. She's got a nail sticking through her nose. She was probably on the spectrum a little bit, I would say. Doesn't
probably
read social cues very, very well, but yet she's pretty effective
right
in what she does. How in the world does a Scott Turow, Harvard-educated lawyer, you know, with grandchildren and the like, how do you get into the head of somebody so completely different?
I can't really give you a sort of short explanation for that. From the time that I wrote about Pinky in The Last Trial, which was the novel before where she had a significant role, I just had a feeling for this young woman. When I started this project, I had absolutely no sense that I was going to try to write in the first person, that is, in her voice. And it just started coming out that way. And I told my editor about it, and he shared my feelings that that might not have been the smartest choice for somebody who's, 40 years older, and another gender, and a different sexual orientation, and different social experience. But I sent him the first chapter, written from Pinky's point of view, and then written in the third person, and he said, "You're right," and he said, "Just go ahead, do it this way. If we don't think it works when you're done, it's not that big a deal to rewrite it from the third person. Of course, that's easy for the editor to say,
right?
But." And nobody even talked about it after I sent the draft in. It was this was the best way I was going to write this book for whatever reason, and I had a lot of fun, but I never had any trouble inhabiting her head.
And that's what makes you a good novelist, because you obviously become that person, I would imagine, and you probably walk around during the day thinking, what would Pinky do, right? I mean, she's such a quirky character. And you know what's interesting is, and I do want to get to this, I mean, we want to like the characters, whether we're watching a movie or reading a book. We kind of want to, root for our characters, and sometimes we even like to hate people in our books and our movies.
Yeah.
But, you know, she's kind of an enigma because I'm rooting for her, but I don't really like her. I mean, I can't say I dislike her, but she's just so unusual and quirky. Is there some thought when you're writing that you want someone to be likable, or is that just irrelevant to how you write your novels and your characters?
Well, I've never written main characters who are totally likable. You know, even Rusty Savage, the hero of Presumed Innocent, is not courageous in facing the truth.
That's a nice way to say.
In some ways, is you know, and in some ways, is almost a convenient liar. So. Nobody, I don't see people as being either black or white. I will say that, you know, there's been a kind of revolution of tastes, though, in the American public. I think if you'd asked a Hollywood executive 30 years ago whether you could write a long-running TV series about a group of people, none of whom are completely likable, they would have said absolutely not. And then Mad Men came along and really changed, changed the way people see things. And, you know, it's still Hollywood standard to have the main character be somebody who is idealized and who the audience is accustomed to rooting for. But Americans have proved that they can root for some pretty... ambiguous people. If you think about Kevin Costner's character in Yellowstone,
yes,
for example,
exactly.
You know, he is John Dutton is not a warm and cuddly guy, and he's a SOB a lot of the time. So the fact that Pinky is strange. Pretty quick to break the rules and even quicker to forgive herself for doing that. there are all kinds of reasons that that people kind of go, ooh, well, I wouldn't do that in Pinky's case. But the bottom line is whether the reader is willing to give her due and is involved with her story, whether they want to take her home for dinner or not. I'll leave that to others to tell me. But people seem to like her as a main character, if not as a roommate.
Exactly. That's exactly how I felt, actually. We are talking to Scott Turow here on WGN. We'll be back in a minute. Welcome back. This is the Karen Conti Show here on WGN. I'm here with Scott Turow talking about his new book, Suspect. I highly recommend it for everybody. Fabulous book. I want to just follow up with a quick question on Suspect, Scott. You talk from the standpoint of this character named Pinky, who is kind of a quirky character, and she's a lot younger than you are. And there's also a lot of technical information in the book about surveillance and different things like that. And, you know, even when you were talking like Pinky, you were talking from her perspective, you were using terms where I literally had to pull out my Urban Dictionary, Google, and go, what does that word mean? I mean, do you know this stuff? Are you that hip? Or is it like you talk to your grandchildren? Or do you actually have to go, you know, like research this like hip talk? Because I am so not hip.
Yeah, mostly it's research. I have to admit it. And by the way, we should say really quickly, because we never explained what Suspect is about.
But Pinky
is assisting in the defense of a police chief from a smaller suburban city, think like Cicero or Berwyn. And the police chief's been accused of soliciting sexual favors in exchange for promotions on the police force. And the kicker here is that the police chief is female. So that's the basic run-up of the story. And, there's some stuff, being involved with cops and police departments. That was a big part of my practice of law, whether as a prosecutor or a defense lawyer or serving on various public bodies. So I knew about that, but you're right. I definitely didn't know the speech of millennials, and I relied on some people of that age, including my stepdaughter, to sort of set me straight when I wasn't using that lingo correctly.
I love it. I just love thinking of you writing this book, you know, using those terms. It was funny. And, you know, going back to the plot, which I probably should have started with, I'm just curious, you know, you talk about this woman, Lucy, who is a police chief. And, you know, as you said, she was accused of having, you know, soliciting sex for in exchange for promotions. You know, we had a situation in Chicago that was similar to that, gender reversed, of course. But was that an inspiration for the book at all? I mean, reading the newspapers and seeing those kinds of allegations, did that kind of spark an idea, or did this come from somewhere else?
You know, there is, what stuck in my mind, and I don't know which suburban police department it was, where there was a superior officer who was having sex with officers under her command. And I can't for the life of me remember, but it goes back at least a decade. But and that probably contributed to the plot here. But I've got notes about it, but they're not available right now. But, you know, this is not unprecedented in police departments. The FOPs are very strong. The Fraternal Order of Police, which is the, you know, basically the union. And fraternization, which is a polite term for romantic relationships, is often in police departments not grounds for any kind of discipline, because the FOPs have prevented that. So as a result, there is something more hanky-panky within a police department than other workplaces. And there are all kinds of permutations on this that have taken place across the country. It's, you know, if somebody wants to have an amusing night on the internet, I commend this as subject matter. So,
let's you know, we're running out of time, but I want to play a brief clip from the Rock Bottom Remainders, which is a band of authors with whom you perform on occasion. Stephen King, Amy Tan, Barbara Kingsolver, Harlan Coben, Dave Barry. I can go on and on. Let's play a little bit of one of the pieces. I love it.
I'm tone deaf enough that I actually think I sound okay.
No, you do sound okay. You do.
I wouldn't say good, but okay.
I love it. Okay. I just love watching you. If anyone wants to watch something really fun, and you are an avid reader as I am, it's just so much fun to see all these authors get together, different iterations of you all playing musical instruments, dancing, singing, and otherwise enjoying yourselves. But I just wanted to share that with our audience. Scott Turow, thank you so much for joining me. I hope you come on again. And everyone, please go out and buy Suspect, which is Scott Turow's new book, and stay tuned for The Presumed Innocent, a new version of the old classic. Thank you so much, Scott. Have a great year.
Thank you, Karen. You too. Happy New Year to everybody.
All right. Bye-bye.